welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howell, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Church Answers.
Okay, Jonathan, let me speak for a while about Church Answers. Okay, you just introduced me as the president and CEO of Church Answers. So let me
speak. Yeah, I think I messed that up too, because I think you told me it's Sam's the president, you're the founder.
Well, so, we're making the
founder
transition.
CEO. We're just making things up as we go here.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I just got an email from Sam. We've been working in communication with each other. We're actually in the same city right now. He's in Bradenton and I'm in Bradenton, but I haven't seen him. So we've been communicating by email. Nope, haven't seen him all day. I don't know where he is. And we've been reviewing how we're going to move forward with Church Answers organizationally. And I've talked to each of you about, you know, your respective clarified titles. I know that y'all aren't hung up on titles, but because Sam is obviously in succession and providing ongoing leadership, he is now the president of Church Answers, and my title is founder and CEO. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I wanted to talk about was Church Answers community. Okay, here's a question for you, Jonathan. You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
What is the number one reason someone at Church Answers says they cannot get involved in the community?
I don't have enough time.
Exactly. They come to Church Answers in order to advance themselves, to be a part of a community, to be in a learning mode, to grow, and yet they don't make time for it. Now, am I saying that Church Answers should be the number one priority of everyone's life? Not necessarily, or as you would say, it depends. But I would say this, Church Answers offers so much in terms of learning, interaction, peer support, prayer, and encouragement that it is a rare, rare opportunity. And so when I hear someone say, I don't have time, what I am really hearing is I am not managing my time well, or I have time drainers that I need to look at. And I may not be the best in the world at time management, but I'm pretty good at compressing a lot of things and getting a lot of things done and really balancing a lot of plates, to use that metaphor. And I really can recognize when a pastor or church leader is not using his or her time effectively. And that's why we want to cover 6 time drainers, because many of these church leaders do not understand what a drain this is. Sometimes it's just saying we got to recognize it's a time drain. But also, I know that we have a pretty good audience here of church members, of those who are leaders in church, lay leaders in church members, and I want them to hear this is also a time drain on their pastors as well.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, I don't want people to take this and run out and go, Pastor, you need to get off of social media, or you need to stop doing weddings and focus on the church more, or something like that. I mean, I could see how this could be used kind of, you know, and be weaponized, so to speak.
And I guess any of our posts, any of our podcasts, to some degree, could be weaponized, and that is not the intent of it. But before we go further, as always, we are grateful to Vander Blumen Search Group for being our founding, original, and longtime sponsor.
Yep, Vander Blumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
Okay, this is not an exhaustive list, Jonathan, but it's a good list, and it comes from coaching and working with pastors. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't have permission to, and in this context, it wouldn't be appropriate. But one of my favorite guys that I coach, one of the questions he asked me 6 to 8 months ago, how do I do all that I need to do? Because I know I'm not doing some of the things I should do, and that means I have to be doing some of the things that are really eating up my time. And it's for people like that, Pastor, that I hope this is helpful. And to be fair to what you said, Jonathan, I hope that this is not something that someone uses as a weapon or an excuse for laziness or not doing work.
Exactly.
Good points all the way around.
All right. So the number one reason, I guess these aren't like in like ranked order, But the first one that we're going to talk about is drop by and casual conversations. That's the first time drainers of church leaders.
Let's use the example of a pastor. We're not limiting this to pastors, but if a pastor is in his office, what is the most common thing that he is doing in his office?
More than likely sermon prep.
And if a typical sermon takes 10, 15, 20 hours of preparation, and there are people that are interrupting that person as the preparation is taking place, a 10-hour can become a 15-hour. A 15-hour can become a 20-hour, because it's not just that you lose the time, but you have to restart. You don't have to go back to the beginning, but you have to ask the question, where was I when this interruption took place? That is why many pastors have elected, yes, to keep office hours for drop-by, but let's affirm that there are some pastors that are just there so members can drop by. But a number of them have said, when I am going to do a sermon, not only am I going to block the time off on my calendar, but I'm going to go somewhere else. And, you know, that somewhere else could be home, probably in a coffee shop, although I know that my son Jess says he's highly productive at coffee shops doing sermon prep. He likes having people around. I never could that be that way.
Well, you don't like people.
I know. I like to be alone when I'm preparing things in detail, and I like to be alone when I'm not. So you've got that right. But these drop by and casual conversations, again, this is a Tom Rainer type thing. You know, I'm a classic introvert, and so drop by and casual conversations would be something that would drain me. But if you're a Sam Rainer, drop by and casual conversations would energize you. And he recognized, in fact, he actually has had to go somewhere other than his office to prepare sermons, because he recognizes that he is attracted to that. It is something that he actually likes. He has to be his mother's son. He did not get that from me. So that is one of the big time drainers.
Yes. Number two is social media. Get caught up online, caught up on your phone, and there goes an hour, or there goes 30 minutes. Just boof.
I'm an observer of people. I may be an introvert, but I'm an observer of people. And I am watching people in airports. I've been in a lot of airports lately. You and I have been on some trips together. I've been in trips by myself. And the constant posture of people in airports now is bent over looking at their screen. And it's an amazing thing to watch.
Did you say something? I was on my phone. I'm sorry.
Yes, I've been actually watching you on this Zoom call.
I've got my notes on here.
Look, you're doing something other than your notes.
No, I got my notes.
Okay. I got my notes. Mine are hard copy here. I guess I'm old fashioned.
I'm saving trees.
There you go. So I'm watching people on their phones, and I'm nosy. I'll just kind of get closer to someone and look over their shoulder. And sometimes it's text. I don't actually look at their text, but most of the time it's social media. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when I'm looking at them, it's Facebook, and they're just going through their Facebook feed. And it's an amazing thing to watch the social media development in our world. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg and I don't even remember the founder's name of Twitter. They don't get the same type of notoriety as
Jack and
Jill.
No.
Oh,
Jack Dorsey, I think, was one of them. And then I'm drawing a blank on the other one.
There you go. I can't remember all the founders of Facebook either beyond Mark. But the point is, they've created this world for better or worse. There's a lot of good things about social media where it can be very helpful. I mean, you think of social media in times of national crises or some type of calamity that's taking place. It's incredible. But at the other time, it can just kill your time. And one thing that has really been helpful to me, Jonathan, is the new iOS from Apple, where they can tell you how much screen time you have. Have you been following your own screen time?
4 hours and 49 minutes today it updated. So that's on my phone. But my phone is like on, like it's up while I'm sitting working on my computer as well. So
So while you're on a screen, your other screen is on.
Pretty much. And there may be an iPad nearby too.
Oh, gosh. Let's pause and pray for Beth, the three boys, and your girl. Let's just.
And then I get notifications on my watch. So
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And I know that you got the watch. And I know why you did, because I fussed at you so much when you were driving for looking down at your phone, that now your watch is on the steering wheel and you can look at your watch. You sneak a look over at your Apple Watch. It's just not fair. I know. I'm ranting. Obviously, social media can take a lot of time, and pastors and other church leaders are not immune from that time drainer. And it's worth asking the question, how many hours a day can I get back if I don't do as much social media? You really could be doing some things of pretty significant importance.
Yeah. The third time drainer is weariness.
Yeah. When you are weary, you cannot do as much in the same amount of time as when you are rested. That is a physiological and emotional reality. And if you think you can, and then you look at what you're doing, it's really not nearly as good work as you can when you're rested. So some of these things, pastors, other church leaders run out of time. And so what do? They stay up later. I'm a classic example of that too much of the time.
Yes, you are.
Not all the time, but too much of the time. I have to have my crash times once every 6 or 7 days where I just have to get my 8 hours in after I've been doing shorter hours before that. But I'm the same way. If I'm rested, my productivity is very high in the morning. I don't know about you, but I can write, I can read, I can do a lot of things much more productive. Why? I'm rested. So weariness in of itself, you're trying to fight the time management battle by trying to put more hours in the day, and you're actually defeating the battle. You're losing in the battle, I should say, because you are not nearly as productive as you were. So that's a huge time drainer.
Well, number four is one, it may be a time drainer, but it's also an opportunity, I guess, to multitask some, but it's long drives to hospitals and other visits. And this has been a good thing for Renner Own Leadership. I'll throw that out there.
In what way?
In the way that it allows people to listen to the show.
Oh, well, definitely for podcasts, the podcast world. And, I discovered Apple CarPlay through you in a rental car.
Yes.
You remember that?
I do.
And about a week and a half ago, it showed up in my car.
Which is weird. I didn't know your car had it. But we've never really hooked into your car like we do in the rental cars. Usually we don't worry about the Bluetooth. We just plug into the USB.
Well, in my car, there are different outlets, but only one of the outlets will actually make Apple CarPlay work.
Okay.
So I happened to plug into that outlet, and I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I said, "Mom, my car's messed up." Man, I love Apple CarPlay.
That's great.
It has every allowable thing on there that you can. In other words, it will. It has my Zoom app up there, but it won't let me do video.
Oh, really? We were wondering about that. So, yeah.
It won't let you do anything dangerous. It has my Audible app up there, and it has my podcast app up there. So Nellie Jo and I were traveling back from the Panhandle of Florida, looking at that disaster that was there. We were traveling back, and I said, "Hey, you want to listen to some of my podcasts?" And she didn't answer me. But we listened to two. And I listened to one, Renner Own Leadership, and I listened to one, Revitalize and Replant, because I had the podcast app. So your point on this is we can actually make good use of time in the car today. It can be a waste of time.
Yeah. It can still drain time on your calendar, because if you need to get things done in the office, it's impossible to get it done while you're driving around in the car. You can't really do sermon prep. I guess you can do a little bit of sermon prep if you've got a podcast or an Audible. You know, that's a very, you know, useful way to redeem that time in the car and contribute to your sermon prep. But you can't really sit down and write a sermon while you're driving.
That's true.
Unless you live in Atlanta, maybe, and you know you're sitting in traffic all the day long.
I think I did 2 or 3 blog post outlines in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, because you weren't moving.
And the driving.
Yeah, Nashville's getting that way too. Or Houston, those big metro areas. So
you can redeem the time, but you cannot do all the things that you would normally do in these long drives.
All right, number five is a wedding, something that you've talked about. How many weddings did you do that 1 year?
Over 40.
Blows my mind.
Yep, 41, 42 weddings in 1 year. Most of them were weekend. There was one week that I actually did three weddings.
Not with the same couple, I'm sure.
I hope not. I hope not. And I hope any one of the people wasn't involved in more than one wedding either. We were a young church. We had a big singles ministry. A lot of people were meeting a lot of people, and these were not random people just coming by and saying, "Hey, I heard you do weddings." These were church member weddings. And I've told the story, and I'm not going to tell it again, of the first SEC championship between Alabama and Florida.
I love that.
When I was doing a wedding, and I got distracted by the ball game during the wedding. But here's the point. From the perspective of the bride and the groom and the family, their perspective is often the pastor needs to be at the rehearsal, the reception, and sometimes even some parties leading up to the wedding. And so it's hours upon hours upon hours, and it's the weekend that's gone.
Yeah, it's family time a lot of times that you have to sacrifice for that.
Exactly. And when I finally made the decision that year with 40-plus weddings, when I finally made the decision that I was going to require a wedding coordinator to be there for the rehearsal and I would not be, I caught a lot of flack. It was like, well, you don't care for us. Well, you know, I really wanted one of my weekend days back because Saturday was the wedding. It was gone. Sunday was all the worship activities. That was gone. And then Friday was rehearsal. And you said, well, it's just Friday night. No, you can't plan anything on that Friday if you have a rehearsal that night. So I started requiring a wedding coordinator. Now, mine's an aberration, but my point is to those who are listening, particularly you church members, I just want you to realize that a wedding is probably the function of the pastor that's most time consuming. I'm not suggesting you take the wedding away, but just be considerate if the pastor leaves the rehearsal dinner early or even doesn't show up for the rehearsal dinner or is only there briefly for the reception after the wedding. Be considerate of those times because they can really add up for a pastor.
Yeah. And speaking of that SEC championship game, I'm still debating on if that's my favorite story or the first funeral is my favorite story of yours. I kind of go back and forth.
Well, the first funeral was a joke on me.
Yes.
And the SEC story really became a joke on me, though it was not intended to be. I really got some people mad at me.
Was it run, you fool, or tackle him, you fool?
No, it was run, fool, run.
Run, fool, run.
Run, okay. Fool, run, because he had intercepted the pass. It was 21-21. Florida was driving, and he intercepted the pass and did a pick six. And Alabama won 28-21. I do not advise pastors to have portable televisions hidden away during the wedding. It's just not considerate. It's ugly. I also want to advise brides not to do weddings.
Not to schedule weddings during the SEC championship football games in the South.
Yes. Oh, gosh. I'm going to get some cards and letters on this one.
I fully support having the secondary screen hidden away somewhere. I'm just throwing that out there.
But, Jonathan, you don't know what a secondary screen is. So everything's all your screens are primary.
Primary, that's right. Okay, and finally, handling minutia.
Yeah, I've given the example of pastors that actually go get the mail, separate the mail. Yeah. You've heard that story during consultation. The pastor told me he had no time whatsoever, and I watched him spend a couple of hours handling mail one day for everyone, separating mail, opening mail. And you say, that's crazy. Well, there are a lot of church leaders out there that aren't doing their job. They're doing the jobs of other people. And it is minutia that they need to be empowering others to do. And so this minutia can really, really slow them down. And a lot of this office work, one of the great things about technology, you've often said that I'm a millennial and a boomer body, but I'm not native to technology and I don't understand it as well as you do, Jonathan. I do appreciate it because it's freed me in so many ways. I like what it does. And I noticed that on Church Answers yesterday, I think, I even forgot to ask her to look at it. But Amy J found out that I asked her to look at a post on Church Answers. And it was basically about time savers.
Oh, okay.
What are you using technology? wise for time savers. And so Amy J came on and explained what we use in our office. And there were some other people that commented as well. Saw another one today from Sam, not from Sam, but Sam responded. So I like technology and it can help us with the minutia, but there's too much minutia that pastors are handling and other church leaders are handling today. But speaking of those who are not in the world of minutia, but in the world of some of the most important issues in the world, like theology and Bible and training and ministry, our great sponsor, Midwestern Seminary.
Yes, and unlike your MDiv that you had was 96 hours?
96 hours.
Theirs is only 81. So you can save 15 hours right there. There, you're talking about redeeming some time. At just 81 hours, the Midwestern MDiv offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, giving you everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City and train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. You can start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv. That online classes. Another great way to be able to, redeem that time and to not, find yourself being drained of time.
Good point. So. Good point. 15 hours saved. That's you begin to add those hours up in class, 3 hours a week, another 6 hours studying. That's 9 hours every week for one course, one course you save. And you're saving 5 or 6 courses on that.
Mm-hmm.
Love what our folks at Midwestern are doing.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or in Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.